expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Q&A session started. Welcome in to the Lotus Place on this Friday evening. Oh, Friday, Freaky Leaf Friday, Black Love Talk Friday, September 25th. We are at the end of the month, going into October. Oh, my goodness. Welcome in, Aja. How are you? How's everybody out there? Hey, Scotty. Hope you're doing well. Hope everyone has had a wonderful week. I can't hear you, Aja, but I think you may be saying something. Check my line. All right. So anyway, it is Friday. Aja, I still can't hear you. I hope Scotty can hear me. Can Scotty hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Greetings.
Greetings. How are you? How has your week been?
Productive.
Productive. Productive is good. That's what I always say. Productive. If you can get some things done throughout the week, then we've had a good week. Make it productive and prosperous. That's what I always like to say. So your family's well, Scotty?
Everyone that I know of, yes.
Good. All right. Well, it is Friday, and we are talking about Black love. Oh, Scott, I just love that ebony image that you found. Is that ebony? Essence, the essence image for Black love. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so very much. I love to see couples together, and particularly black couples, black men and women, since we have endure so much in terms of separation and destruction of our beautiful relationships. So that's one reason why we try to honor a black love, black relationship, black sex night here at the Lotus Place on Black Talk Radio Network. And don't forget, you can always donate. You can just go on to the webpage, blacktalkradionetwork.com. You can donate to the call. Black Media is here for you. So we are going to dig into some discussions around making relationships work, helping to make you a better person, and helping to make your love and your relationships and your life happy, healthy, and wholesome. I think that is so important, especially when you take time to get yourself together so that you won't bring a bunch of mess into a relationship. I know I took some time, like a little hiatus, or I went on a little sabbatical, get myself together so that I can clear out all the mess and junk that was going on in my life, so that I wouldn't be a bag lady like Erykah Badu said, or come into someone's life bringing all of trauma and drama, and it still works. We're all a work in progress. And I think each and every day we wake up and we should strive to learn something new and to become a little bit more wiser than the day before and do something different. Set a challenge for the week in addition to your goals. Set a challenge, something that you may sacrifice, something that you may try, plan to try something new and different. Live new, be new and different. Oh, Aja, let's see. Okay, I should be able to hear you now. I've unmuted you.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, great.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm spectacular. How are you today, Black Lois?
I'm just joyful, very jocund. I feel relaxed. Finally have gotten over that little kind of flu bug stuff, the cough. It was kind of like the Katrina cough. Just had your coughing and body aching and just worn out. And then it takes 2 weeks to get over that stuff. You're sick for about 2 weeks and then it takes about another 2 weeks just to recuperate and regain all of your strength. So, but I'm here.
Well, good. Good. You made it too. So that's good.
How I got over. How I got over. So, yeah, I don't really, you know what, I really haven't kept up with much in the news this week. So I really don't have a lot of hot topics. I'm sure I could probably find a few hot topics. But I know you have a what's good to share. So,
yes, I do.
All right. Let's see here. Okay. All right. Okay, Anja. You have a what's
good? Right. Yes. Since we're talking about Black love, I wanted to celebrate the couples that have been married for so many years and have withstood all the challenges of just being together and just facing things that couples go through. And so this one couple, they get the Guinness World Book Record of being married for 85 years. Actually, 86 years this past May. So this article was done last year. So 86 years they have been together, and it's Zelmyra and Herbert Fisher. Oh. And Zelmyra is 101, and Herbert is 104. They got married when they were 16 and 19. And they are still together. Still together.
Beautiful.
And this other couple, they wanted to share some tips on how to make your marriage last. They've been married for 73 years. And this is Arthur and Ruby Lawrence. And 73 years they've been together. And this picture, I just really wanted to talk about this particular couple, because this picture they have, he is, you know how you sit down, you comb your daughter's hair, and she sits down between your legs and you're combing her, you're oiling her scalp, you know, how they did back in the day. Well, he is doing hair. He is combing her hair. And they look like they're at least 70 in this picture.
Really?
Yes. She's sitting on the floor, the legs stretched out like we used to do. And she's kind of reared back between his knees. And he's just as serious with that comb. And you can tell they do it a lot, you know. And it is so warm. It's just lovely. So let me read this.
Been doing that for years.
Yes. You'll say, you know, honey, it's time for you to do my hair. And then it's all right, baby, you know. He don't complain, probably enjoys it as much as she does, you know.
That would be me. Like, one of my questions I would ask my husband is, well, a potential husband, I would say, you know how to oil scalp? You know, when you ask a man that has sisters, generally, they'll say, oh, yeah, mm-hmm, I used to love my sister's scalp.
Uh-huh.
Oh, let me go get my comb, and let me get my oil. Oh, let's get this going. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So,
okay. So, meet Arthur. Can you turn that down just a little bit so I won't have to speak so loudly?
Music.
You
hear music?
Okay. Yeah. Is that music on the line?
No.
Really?
I don't hear any music. I tell you what,
goodness.
I was wondering what you were speaking of.
Okay, let me hang up and call back. Okay, all right, I'll come back.
Okay. So Anja will hang up and call back in. So we'll wait on her to call back in. And while we're waiting on her, I want to start off with just reading about, first of all, oh my God, I knew it was something I had to say.
I'm here.
Did see this. Okay, do you still hear the music?
No.
Okay, good. Before you go into that story, Aja, I want to send out my condolences to all of the people, the family members. I think it was like 717 or more people that were
down
the stampede at the
hive. Yes.
Dad, I'll try to see if I
can
get an updated story. So let me send out my condolences to those families.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I think it's been like decades since something like that has happened. And it's just like a world tragedy. It's just, oh my God.
Yeah.
I still really don't really know exactly what happened. Like, what made people, I don't know, what caused the stampede. I remember like a few years ago there was a stampede or something, somewhere like Cambodia or something. And to see the pictures of all of those people, you know, just like in a pile, just like a pile of cans, and you could just see some arms or legs sticking out. That was just horrible. So, oh my goodness, all those families. Oh my goodness.
Well, they say that it's a statue. It's like a cross mark. It's a particular point where they come to. Like a section of them are coming from the left, and then a whole section of them are coming from the right, and they're coming to meet at this particular point. And and instead of them like coming and then stopping, it's this big wave. Somebody describes it as a wave, and one cloud started, you know, kind of moving fast, you know, on another cloud, and they couldn't stop. Somebody tripped. Okay. Somebody tripping. You got a whole lot of people, and then somebody tripping, and I guess they're just so used to moving, and then somebody trips, and then somebody tripped over that person, somebody tripped over that person, and it started a wave. People who were in wheelchairs, they were tripping over wheelchairs, and it's one of those weird things that was so innocent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was not like anybody, it's just really tragic. The one person that was there who survived, those were her accounts. She just said, you know, it just came out of nowhere. Somebody tripped, and then another person tripped over another person, and they just couldn't stop it. And it went head on with the other crowd.
It's
happened like that before, several times before, at that same point.
I think I did recall, like, there was a request for, like, the Saudi Arabia, like, emergency personnel or police personnel or something to, like, develop a better pathway for them to make the pilgrimage, when they're making the pilgrimage. Oh, my goodness. It says here, among the suggested causes, pilgrims rushing to complete the rituals, heat, masses of faithful pushing against each other in opposite directions, even confusion among the many first-timers on the annual Islamic pilgrimage to Mecca and Mina. There's more than 2 million Muslims from around the world for the Hajj. Let's see. Let's see. 2 miles away from Mecca Holy Site. That's where the deadly stampede took place Thursday, the third day of the event. Wow.
I think the last one was in 2010.
Really? I thought it said there's some time longer than this that happened. But anyway, I'll read more into that. But Asha, share the story with us about the couple.
Okay. Meet Arthur, 91, and Ruby, 89. Lawrence of Wake Forest. This is the one that's been married 73 years, not the first one I mentioned. This one, I have a story. Okay, and this is the one where he was combing her hair, so I want to read their story. Okay, they relocated. They're of Wake Forest, North Carolina, by the way. And they relocated to Rhode Island, where they currently reside. They married at the ages of 16 and 18 and are the parents of 9 children. They've left their mark on history by starting a church, establishing a scholarship fund, and having a North Carolina community center named in their honor. 3 years ago, President Barack and First Lady Michelle Obama sent them a letter in celebration of their 70th anniversary. Recently, the two interviewed with Delisha Easley of the Black Love Forum to share their experience and offer advice to young couples. They say that the key to making it last is being friends first. I've always believed in that.
Yeah.
That's what I would like. And observing other couples. They cite their friendship as the foundation of their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby, who says divorce never crossed her mind, says that she learned from other marriages and wanted better for hers, while Arthur says his parents set a great example of how a marriage should be. When Easley asked what advice they would give to newly married couples, Ruby's replied, "I really don't know what to give these kind of people," she said jokingly, "because some of them don't really understand how a marriage is supposed to be. How it's supposed to be. You're supposed to love one another and do the best you can no matter what happens. You're supposed to keep your love for your husband or wife. I don't care what they've done or do. You have to always forgive them. You don't forget, but you have to forgive. You never forget nothing. I don't care what it is. You will always think about it forever. But you have to forgive, or you want to be forgiven." So, I would like for whoever is listening, whoever calls in, just what are their thoughts or comments on Arthur and Ruby's advice? What's kind of advice would they give? And do you, how important do you think friendship is? And is there something that they would think that's even more important than friendship? Like a mother, I think she mentioned something. It was friendship. She said something about make sure that he has some money or something like that. I may be wrong, but it wasn't friendship. So she said that was the first thing that she wanted to make sure that was okay.
Yes.
So I just kind of wanted to get
primarily concerned about the financial
security.
Financial security.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And see, people, they have different priorities in terms of relationship or something that they specifically require or desire. Like I would desire for my future husband, who is coming. I know he is. I've already had 2 proposals this year. And in I did say that someone was going to ask me to marry them. So I'm up to 2. And I'm still, I haven't made my decision. And it's my eligible bachelors that are listening. I have not made any decision as to not either one of these people. No sex has been involved. So, hey, I am still here and available. That's a rich.
Very good
children.
Right.
I'm having it. So you can bring your children along, honey. We can be the Brady Bunch. But I just don't have I'm like, listen, Mother Dunning says with those ditties. Have those bitties. You can bring your little bitties too. You can possibly have some bitties. Hopefully, by now, they're at least grown. They should be in college.
Right, exactly, exactly. At least.
Yeah. So, but I do think that, I do desire friendship. I would love to fall in love and marry my friend.
Yeah.
And I've gone to weddings or heard of weddings or watched weddings, whereas one of the spouses would say, "I married my friend."
Yeah.
I married my best friend.
I married my best friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to hear that.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I really do. Because with friends, it's like they know you. You know them. There are no pretenses. They see you at your worst, your best, or have seen you at your worst, the best. They know you, especially a good friend, someone that you've actually taken the time to be friends with, and it wasn't under the pretense of, oh, let me see how this relationship works. You're just friends. And then I really do see that men, they respect women more so if you do have that friendship foundation.
Uh-huh.
Versus just going into it, it's like, you know, oh, let's go out on a date. Okay, let's go out on another date. Let's go out on another date. Oh, let's have sex. Okay, let's have some more sex. And then it's like, I don't even know if I really like you, you know. So then a person's friend, it's like you get to know them. And even if you don't like certain things about them, you like them as a friend. And I think that really helps the relationship work. And grow and expand into like a loving and intimate relationship, because you already know their person's ups, downs, faults, weaknesses,
the quirks they have.
Yeah, all that stuff. Anything you've been with them with their other mates, or know about what worked, what didn't work in those relationships, because you two have talked about it. So yes, I believe that being friends with someone is a great first step. A great first step.
Yes, it is.
That's why I always propose just to slow it down, take your time.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Let me just send someone a message who's trying to get into the show. But yeah, just to slow it down and get to know that person, and all will be well. All will be well. So, yeah. Those are my thoughts. So people can call in and you can tell us if you've experienced that and if that worked for you or did not work for you. Because now, look, I have heard people that say we were together maybe like in a relationship, not necessarily friends, in a relationship like for 10 years, and then they all of a sudden married and then they're divorced within 6 months. So that's quite interesting also.
Yeah, that is.
Mm-hmm. I
think something wasn't really truly open.
Something wasn't open.
One of the two were not totally communicating with the other one.
Yeah, no.
I think that's what happened.
No.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Certainly, certainly. Before we go to break, I want to read, and then we can come back and jump into our topic and talk more about some of what I read in this article here. Okay, this is for women. This is for women in terms of presenting yourself to a certain kind of gentleman that you want, or that you have your eye on. These are, let's see, 9 ways. 9 is a very special spiritual number too, so that's pretty good. 9 ways to attract a mate. Good looking guy, a person that you want. Look like a million bucks. Make sure your nails are done, and your clothes don't have to be designer, but they should be of quality and show off your figure without showing too much. Have your nails done, nails and feet. You know what that means. Not just nails,
the nails and feet. Don't forget the foot.
Yeah.
And your hair, definitely. You can tell this is written by a man because he didn't say hair, because, you know, we're like hair and nails, okay? Hair, mani pedi. You know, we have our own little lingo. So,
yeah.
right. So hair, don't forget the hair. But I guess that encompasses, like, look like a million bucks. So, anyway. So definitely that. So that's number one. What do you think about that, Aja?
I think that's number one, because that's the first thing you're going to see. I mean, first impressions, you know, your face, you know, what they see right off.
Certainly.
So how you care for yourself. How you care for yourself. You love yourself. You know, that tells whether you love yourself. You're taking care of yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, my pet peeve is to see these women go out from home with these sleep bonnets on and PJs. I can't stand that. And, you know, ladies, especially African ladies, I even see a lot of the Asian and white women doing it. Now, put your
really
beautiful wrap on. No, I'm saying I see them, and I'm going into this statement, wearing a beautiful African wrap scarf.
Oh, okay.
Long, like we wear around, you know, head wrap, like Erykah Badu and other people. Ladies, put that on as opposed to that little sleep bonnet. And these sarongs, you can find them at Walgreens. You can order them at, I order mine from, I think it's called Turtles something, Turtles. If you just Google Turtles and sarongs, oh my God. They have 52-inch and smaller, like 24-inch or 52-inch sarongs that you can use as a body wrap and a head wrap.
Hmm.
So, I mean, you know, we have to be cute about our business, ladies. We have to
That's
represent
right.
African. Yeah, we have to represent African queens and princesses and empresses. And she didn't walk
exactly
out there with that head bonnet on. Baby, the sisters, they would kept them wigs together. Wigs or hair, and they were adorned. They had their jewels and their crowns. And come on now, look at Aset and Hathor, the jeweled pieces and the winged disc. Baby, we have always been regal. So
yeah,
we have to keep it up, ladies. We have to keep it up, and let's just keep the black sweet bonnets in the bedroom. And if you have a husband, a boyfriend that you have coming over or sleeping over, discard that black bonnet. Don't wear that crap to bed. I don't care. Just, we have to figure out something else with the hair. That is unattractive. If I was a man, I would smash that off my curl head. Little ugly little black bonnet. I'm going to run my fingers through your hair. Take that crap off, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's why I'm glad I can sleep with a little scarf on my head or without, it doesn't matter. But anyway, features on, but just don't wear that black bonnet outside. That's all I ask. If you want to wear it to bed, you know, do that. I wouldn't want to see that if I was a man. I just wouldn't. I don't want to see hair bonnet. No, remind my mom.
Either.
Yeah, that will remind me of my grandmother. Now, who want to
yes
have sex with your grandmama? Come on. You want to be laying up with somebody sexy. You want to feel sexy. You don't want to
yes
go there and, you know, look into a hair bonnet, a black hair bonnet. Ugh, anyway. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll pick back up on Mac Love Talk, making our relationship lovely, hot, buttery, black butter love. Okay, let's take a break.
Are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay. And we are back. Okay. Let me just run through some of these, and then I want to play this video by Ralph Mark on how to do. What is it? I believe it. I'll see which one I'll play. But let's see. Okay. So number two, be confident. So be confident. Mm. You have to own your own life or be in the process of making one. A man wants a woman of substance, not a gold digger. Now, and I always say this, like Kanye West, and this one thing I agree with Kanye West on. He said, I'm not saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, you know, N-word.
Yeah.
So, and that's real right there. And I think the men understand and appreciate that it's not about anybody being a gold digger. And I think that people should be able to help each other, period. And not just financially. You should be able to, this is me personally. This is me personally when it comes to relationships. I believe that a woman should be in a relationship with a man that can enhance her life.
Mm-hmm.
And a man should be in a relationship with a woman that can enhance his life.
I agree.
If neither one of you can do anything for each other but give each other a headache
and grief,
yes, then you don't just discontinue that. Don't even do that. There should be something in it for each person. We get in relationships for a lot of the wrong reasons.
Sure do.
And feelings and all of this and all of that foolishness. We don't think about genetics. We don't think about, I take care of this person. Can this person take care of me? What can we build together? What is this person like? We look at it. We I don't know what we look at. I really don't. Probably just the genitals. But anyway, how somebody make you feel good, you know, occasionally. But we need to start thinking about, like, you know, long term, like reality, like, you know, what do we really have in common? Do I really like this person?
Right.
And, you know, what are we going to contribute to society together? What can we build together? How are we going to work together? You know, what can we do together?
Right.
And things like that. That's what I think about when I'm looking into a man. Like, you know, me, in my life, I would certainly want someone that's, you know, in the movement. I want somebody that's concerned about Black people and how we are going to transform this position that we're in and return to some sense of or semblance of greatness, come out of these impoverished states and just, you know, not having to worry about being shot by the police when we're walking down the street and coming home from the store and things like that. I want someone that has those same concerns like that I have, you know, at least. Know a sense of it. But you know, there's one thing, more and more places where I'm going now, I'm hearing more and more people talking about that Black stuff, like they used to tell us, you know, talking about that Black stuff. I'm hearing more and more people now talking about that Black stuff. Finally, it's not just talking about that Black stuff, So, yeah, I'm hearing more and more people talking about that Black stuff. So, I'm just loving that. I'm loving that. But anyway, I'm getting a little off topic. I digress. So, be confident. Be confident in yourself. Men want someone that's confident. She feels like she's beautiful. If she's, no matter if she's 130 pounds or 330 pounds, she's confident. No matter if she's Halle Berry or dark as Viola Davis, she's beautiful. No matter if her hair is kinky short or kinky long or straight or wavy or whatever it is, she is beautiful. If she's working as a receptionist or in a boardroom, whatever, she is confident. She is who she is.
Exactly.
And she knows
who she is, and she's happy with who she is.
Yes.
Work on constant improvement of herself. Also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Constant improvement, you know, evolve. So don't just stay the same, just, you know, same old.
Yeah, I mm-hmm. when you've with a person for a number of years, I mean, we're here to evolve. We didn't come here to just stay the same and not be enlightened and find out who we really are, you know, in this body that we have taken on. So that means that there will be some change if you do want to grow. There's no way in the world that a plant can grow, can have a change and, can grow unless it changes. So I said all that to say, sometimes people do not want to accept that a person has changed. And it's usually for the better, but it makes that other person feel uncomfortable. So they'll say, oh, you changed. You're not the same person I fell in love with. You know, and I don't know whether to say that that wasn't true love to start with, or you just want someone that's going to be the way you want them to be. You're not letting that person be themselves, be free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that that happens. That happens too in relationships that last more than 5 or 6 years. And if the person really, you know, wants to grow, you know, and sometimes one person will say, I've outgrown you. You know, when they want to stay back where they were and don't want to
uh-huh.
grow, you know,
uh-huh.
that can happen too.
Certainly that can happen. I'm quite sure it can. Hey, I want to, Aja, welcome in Delta Cougar. Delta Cougar is here at the Lotus Place with us tonight. How are you, Delta?
Yeah, fine. And I was listening at the lovely ladies tonight and all these great hot suggestions and hot topics y'all talking about, because truly I was sitting there listening, and I was telling a young lady today, and we was talking about, I was telling her not to settle just to say you got a man.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the young men, they go and they look for young ladies, I was telling her, just like you, they have 5 kids. She has 5 kids.
Didn't
but
I say that earlier, Aja?
Yeah.
I was just saying that earlier. Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And she had, no, that's okay. And she has 5 boys, and she works. I mean, she's a hard worker. I mean, very hard worker. Have her own home, and she have 2 nice vehicles. She have a car. And she has one of them Bronco type new model, like. And I was telling her, I said, men look for women like you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, now look, I can understand that some black men in the black community may not be as have a good job as you. I said, but don't let a man come and don't have no job. I said, because he could work at Burger King and you can work on your job. But if he take his money from Burger King and manage it right, he can help you a lot more. But don't move one in that who is not going to help you at all. And that's what they do. They seek these women out with all these kids and all these benefits. And the women, I guess they're so desperate because they are single women, and they got 4 and 5 baby daddies. See, everybody have their own daddies now.
Mm.
And the sad thing about it is you hurt the children when you do that. And so they seek them out. They seek them out for financial gain. And the women are so desperate now to put a man on their own. They want to walk around and say they got a man on their own. I don't want no man if he can't be nothing for me. And I was looking at Black Rose as she was saying that, you know, she don't want no man that can't do nothing for her. But the young girls, they ain't worried about that. They want a man that's got a gold tip on his penis. And if he got a gold tip on his penis and doing what they want them to do with that penis, these young girls will work and take care of him all day long. Because my sister was saying the other day, now her youngest daughter is a nurse at the hospital. I have her own car, live home with her mama, but she has a baby. And her mother was so angry, said that she got all dressed up and was going to stay at the casino. But she laid up and paid for a free, now I'm going to say like my sister said. My sister said a free F and you know what free. And she paid for it. And you know, it is just sad. And so the young boy, he gonna know that, hey, this is an easy one right here. She's gonna pay for everything. Mm-hmm. And see, and these girls gotta stop this. They gotta stop this. They making it hard for a man to get out and work. They making it hard for a man to get out and do for himself. They wants to be the mama. They wants to be the caretaker. They wants to be everything. Uh-huh. And the men now don't have no responsibility because the women
do
everything.
You're right about that.
And I want a man to take me out. I want him to take me out. If he said that he want to take me out, and like for instance, when I met my papa, I met papa in a grocery store, and me and papa talked a long time before he came to my house. But papa had been a good provider. He didn't come in and marry me and didn't take care of me. And you know, he had kept his word. He told me, he said, you didn't marry me, I married you, and I wanted to marry you. And he said, and if it take two jobs to take care of you, that's what I'll do. And so, and see, the young girls don't settle for that. They just settle for a rub in the hay. And they think because they get a rub in the hay, a little nut in the hay, and it's gone home, and that's it. They get that good 2 minutes feeling, and you right back to where you started. The young girls ain't nowhere. And my baby boy, he's a good boy, but he ain't got no job. Ain't trying to get no job, and got a teeth missing out in the front.
Hell, Lord.
He got a teeth missing out, and the women is just gone crazy. This is the truth. They are gone crazy over him.
Over him, really?
Over
him.
Wow.
She said they're going crazy over him, honey.
No job. Ain't trying to seek no job. And a teeth out in the front.
Oh, he not even trying to get a job.
He ain't trying. He'll go wash him some cars. Now, he did have a job, and I must say, now, he did have a job a while back. He quit about 2 months ago. What happened was, and I got to tell the truth, but he still need to go and try to find something there. He's working for one of us, and one of us would not
come in.
One of us will not pay him his money like they said, when he come in and put the hours together.
Okay. I'm on the phone. Go to your room, I'm on the phone.
And so when he was working for one of us and the guy, when he do his hours, and like he would go in, the black guy didn't have no time clock. And when my son would go in, he would write it on the man had a book and he would write it.
He cheated him out of his hours. That is correct. My son kept going back.
But he kept going back and back, and the guy said he's going to do right, going to do right and do right. Uh-huh. So last time my son just quit. He said, because the man won't pay him. And so, but what I'm still saying is these girls, they just sell it for anything. They'll take a man that ain't working. Long as they got to take care of it, they don't care.
Wow.
They literally don't care.
Hmm. You know,
that's
I think
interesting.
Hmm? I mean, it is. They've gotten so desperate because there's so many locked up. And then there's so many loving on each other, and then there's just so many married, and then there's so many who don't know what they are, and they're just like, I got it. He wear pants.
Now
you know.
Absolutely right, Audrey. They don't know what they are.
Yeah.
And they walking around want to be like me because I got a niece that's walking around want to be like a man. Now, let me show you something. Now, she patterned herself after a man. Call herself one of these bull daddies, whatever you want to call. And she called herself, patterned herself after a man. And she getting it down to the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she won't go and get no job. She want to sit around. Just like the men, wear her pants down and won't
get they
no
wear
job.
Them sagging. The girls wear them
and
sagging.
And she won't get no job.
Yes.
Like the men.
Crazy. I saw this little girl. She got out of the car. Got out of her car right in front of me. I was walking into the grocery store. And I could tell it was a female because when she came out, I could see just, you know, small breasts, but she had on her little wife beater t-shirt. She had her hair in like these long locks, like thick locks, pulled back in a ponytail, and like some of those basketball long shorts. She was like a little slim girl, but kind of tall, like, and had her little pants just hanging, and she pulled them up just like the guys. Pull them down.
Just ridiculous.
Just looking crazy as hell. And then, of course, you know, when we go into the store, I'm right behind her because, you know, I'm just looking. I try to pull out my phone sometimes and take pictures of people. But anyway, I'm always in such shock I can never remember to grab my phone quick enough. But anyway, so I'm right behind her because I'm just watching her pull up her pants and pull them up. I'm like, oh, my God. And then she opens up the door, and just like a man, she just holds the door open for me. I'm like, thank you. And I looked at this girl. I said, this girl is drop-dead gorgeous in the face.
Gorgeous.
I mean, drop-dead. I'm talking Halle Berry. I'm talking.
Oh, wow.
I'm talking Kerry Washington. I'm talking exotic black beauty and walking around like that. I said, oh, they have messed our people up. They have, oh, my God. Not
big time.
I'm not talking about butch girls or anything like that because I love the gays. I'm just saying, it's just like, to, you know, get to that point of you dressing like a man. I wouldn't mind someone just actually explaining it to me because I just don't like it and I don't get it and I just really don't want to see it. But I know that that's what some people want to do. Because I worked with someone, one position, she would wear, there was a lesbian and she was butch, and then there was a gay guy. And I was friends with the gay guy. You know, I love the gays. I love gay boys. It's so fun. And so my friend and I, we were pretty cool. But he said, now, she can come in here and wear men's shirts, men's belts, men's pants, men's shoes. But if I came in here and put on some heels and a dress and a wig, they would fire me and they wouldn't let me be in here like that. And he said, that's not right. You know, not that he wanted to do that. He was just making a point of how it's just too confusing. It's too much. It's just like that crazy law that they're trying to push. And Aja, tell us again how people should vote on that proposition in terms of people being able to access all the restrooms and public facilities. But there's a little underlying clause to that in terms of transgender Mm-hmm. Okay. The law is called Preposition 2. And first off, vote no. And here's why. It starts out as I agree to have equal rights for all persons, regardless of their religion, ethnicity, background, you know, the whole thing that makes us think, oh, well, yes, of course I do, you know, but then it goes down further and it says at the very end, of regardless of their sexual orientation, regardless of their, genetic orientation. Genetic identity.
I think it's
sexual identity.
And I think it's, whatever, all of that, And so anyway.
The identity part means that however I see myself, then that's the way you have to accept me. So, I get it. Some people do that. But by the same token, a criminal could fly very well on that law and dress up as a female using that law and go into public restrooms, locker rooms. They're trying to pass this law to say that no matter what you are, you can go in a man's room, you can go in a lady's room, no matter what you are. Men, women going back and forth in the same restroom. Now, some people say, oh, I don't have any problems with that. Okay, you may not. What about the little 13, 7, 6-year-old children, girls and boys? A grown man can put on some high heel shoes, put on some lipstick, throw on a wig and say, I'm a lady, and then go in and start raping people. We cannot allow this to happen. Whatever law that's on the book, and I guarantee you that our gay mayor has already put some kind of law on the book because this is her second term. So she took care of them her first term. Now, whatever law that's on the book, that should suffice. Now they're trying to add this second thing, this tag on, doing her second term to say, well, public restrooms and locker rooms too. So, and marriage, it says something about marriage at the very bottom, pregnancy or something at the very bottom. But, what we have to be aware of, see, a lot of people don't like to read, especially these propositions, because they don't understand them. And the way they have it worded, it sounds just like the way they used to.
The verbiage.
Yes.
The verbiage of it, and it was already taken to Supreme Court to, like, change that wording. And some black pastors here, Delta, so they came out and began to explain the proposition to people so that people could understand, no, this is not just about, oh, let the black people come in the restroom and all that kind of stuff like it was before. Because, see, this is all under the whole guise of, this is beyond just the transgender. This also is inclusive of pedophiles. This is all about the pedophile agenda that they've been working on, I think, since 1970 or 71 or whatever.
Exactly.
The agenda. And it's online. You can pull it up. Just type in pedophile agenda 1971 and come up. And these are some of the things that they have been working on. And so year by year by year, they push this. Now, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to get off this because it's not what we're talking about.
I'm sorry. It's Proposition 1. I said Proposition 2. It's Proposition 1.
Proposition 1.
I have it now. Let me pull it up. Okay. Let me read it right quick. Are you in favor of the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance number 2014-530, which prohibits discrimination in city employment and city services, city contracts, public accommodations as restaurants and locker rooms, private employment and housing based on an individual's sex, race, color, ethnicity, national origin, age, familial status, marital status, military status, religion, disability, sexual orientation, genetic information, gender identity, or pregnancy. So you should say no.
Yeah, because they're throwing it all. They throw it all in there to try to throw you off from what
they're really trying to do. Right, trying to throw you off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It starts out light, you know, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you read it. Yeah. You read those first few sentences. Oh, yes, of course. Yes, sure, sure.
Of course I'm in favor. Yes.
But I am not in favor of some man putting on a wig and coming in the restroom and possibly raping people. You know, call me scary or paranoid or whatever, but that's just what it is.
Yeah.
So,
and can I go on to another topic, Mashiach, if you don't mind?
I'm ready to say. Okay. Welcome in, Mother Hattie. Mother Hattie is with us. And then we have Floyd, who's going to share something with
us
shortly. Hey, Mother Hattie. Icy Hot.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Icy Hot.
Okay. Hey, Icy Hot. Well, this is a case down in, Florida, I think. I'll pull it. I can't pull it up while I'm on the phone. Y'all know I ain't got that.
What is the case? Which one is it? Is it the one you were telling me about earlier?
Yeah. Did you get it when I sent it to you?
Okay. Let me go and grab it. Go ahead, Anna.
Okay, look, it's in your inbox. Well, this, and okay. It's all, and we all talking about the dating with the women and how the women's supposed to be with men. Well, this lady, which is a black lady, met this man, and her and the man started living together, but they had been together for some years. And from my understanding, over about 7 years or whatever. And this lady had a small daughter, and this man practically really raised up this child. And the young girl was 16 years old, and she was sick. And her mother went on the ward. And she was sick, and the young lady stayed home. The mother, Lillian boyfriend, goes to work. But he knows the young lady is at home sick. He clocks off from his job, goes back to his house, and rapes his girlfriend's daughter that he'd been living with for over 7 years. And he'd been with her, like, for 7 years. Don't you know you don't watch her grow up like a child, almost? Then he, not only that, he turned around after he raped her. He killed her. So this is what we're saying. A lot of times, you know, we say in the night, women meet them right away and move them in. But this one right here, she had been with him over 7 years. But really, you don't know who you're moving into your home, women. Women's got to quit being so quick to move a man in. And this man have taken the life of her daughter. And they were saying, they asked a question on Facebook today. They said, women, do you know a man before you move him in? Do you really know him before you move him in? Now, this lady lost her daughter's life.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter's life has been lost. And her boyfriend took it. He have been fantasizing to sleep with this woman's daughter. He said the woman's daughter had grown up and had a nice shape. And he wanted this woman's daughter. And this is so sad. So, women, we have to be careful what we put before our young ladies. And our young men. And so, and then I can tell you about another case that I know.
Can I share something with you on that one?
Go ahead.
Just real quickly.
Okay.
One of the things about moving men into your home, first of all, you're starting out wrong. He should have something himself and move you somewhere.
Yeah.
You don't need to be moving him in with you, first of all. Now, that's right. Just my take. And not to say it could happen even if you moved in with him or whatever, but he's man, let him be the man. Why women always got this man moving in with them? Serious.
Let's take a break and come back and talk about that. I see, huh? That's a good point. All right, let's take a quick break.
Just have to say that's the way it was.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Okay, and we are back. Icy Hot, we left off with you asking, or kind of really making a statement too, why are these women always moving men in? I know a lot of these women, they move men in so that they can have a babysitter for these children when they go to work. And
right,
you know, that's still confusing to me too. So
that's the problem. Why are you letting people babysit your children?
Yeah.
Because a lot of them don't have, and I can answer that question, Miss Hattie. A lot of them truly, literally, don't have like child care. They really don't have the services.
Well, you're gonna take a chance. You're gonna take a chance. You're gonna take a chance on your child being raped, murdered, lay ham with over some child care. Go pay for it.
Well, a lot of them will, Miss Hattie. I mean, I said hi, a lot of them would do it because they, at the last resort, they don't have a sitter. And if they don't go to work, they're not going to be able to take care of the family.
But I thought that you can have I thought that you can have child care assistance if you're on,
not all the, no, that's not how it goes.
Really?
Not all the time. But now this is my advocation for a lot of this, and I know y'all may not agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this with my whole heart and soul. I believe they need to start tying these twos and don't let them have any more babies. And they,
you know, I'm not down for that one. You know, I'm not down for that one. Because
no,
what
they need to.
Too much race discrimination. Too much race discrimination.
I think they need to. They got too many babies. They got too many girls having babies, and they need to cut it out. And I'm one of the ones would help exterminate them. Ain't no need of me lying.
Oh my Lord.
Jesus.
I'm gonna bring my holy oil when I come down for Thanksgiving.
I'm gonna give her
see, y'all think I'm being mean, but I'm not. It's true. Let me ask all y'all a question. Y'all, now y'all give me y'all honest answer.
Okay,
if you had a daughter and your daughter living with you, now think about this. Your daughter go out and make one mistake. Then your daughter come back and make mistake number two, mistake number three, if y'all want to say this. Mistake number four, number five, number six, number seven, number eight. Now, what are you going to do? You going to continue to sit there?
Something's going to have to change.
Ooh, the devil came in me. I like to say the H word. Give me the thing and let me start clipping some tubes.
Yeah. Oh my God. Lord have mercy. Well,
I don't really know anybody like that. That's not a realistic
example. Who's suffering? The kids are suffering. Because you got every last one of them probably got a different daddy. Then on top of that, the daddies ain't doing nothing for them. Then on top of that, the kids are suffering. So why keep bringing these seeds into the world and suffering and making them suffer?
You might be killing off another Ben Carson, Barack Obama, or anybody
else.
You might be killing off another Nelson Mandela. You might be killing off another Paul Robeson. You might be killing off another Mugabe. You might be killing off anybody. You see, that's why I can't be for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we're gonna have to send them all down to Icy House.
You send them right on over here. Icy got room. And if she don't, I guess what? God, Lord will make a way somehow, and I'll build on another room.
What y'all been telling me
is that these people will build you another room with them. So I don't know.
Hey, I'm trying to tell you one thing. Don't bring them to Delta, because Delta got
her
hands full already.
Yeah, sure does.
I'm just being honest in our community, and I'm not throwing stones in our community, but I'm saying our young ladies just don't know when to gap their legs and quit.
Well, let me ask you this, Bree. Tell me this. When are you going to make the men stand up for some responsibility? Why don't we just take all them and give them a vasectomy?
I'm fucking too, because my brother did it, and I tried to even talk my boys into it. Let me tell you, I not really did. You asked Ann, what are my boys?
So let me ask you this. Why don't you sterilize the men and leave the women alone?
Well, my boys got, but my, I mean, that, but, okay, but let me tell you why I'm so hard on the women.
Please tell us why.
Okay. No, this is the truth, because when I was raised by my mother, and my mother had instilled in us and all her girls, she told us, you are responsible for your body. And she told us, from little bitty girls, she said, a man do no more than you let him do to you. She said, you are responsible for your body. And take a guess what? I never forgot it. I never forgot it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Everybody is responsible for their body. You.
No, you're responsible for that coochie, Miss Hattie. You are responsible for your own coochie.
And so is everybody else. The man is responsible for his body. I think the men have to take some responsibility at least 50%, but not sterilizing women. I think you need to sterilize the men.
No, the women are silly, because if you got one baby, why you let them have another? If you don't know,
why do men go around impregnating women? You know, we got to think about that, Mother Donnie.
Think about it. If you know a guy
with 15 children with one man and five mamas.
But what I'm saying is, if you know a guy already got 7 or 8 kids, why you want to make your baby number 9 for him?
A lot of times they don't even tell them that they have 7 or 8 kids. They don't come into the relationship letting the woman know they got a kid over here, a kid over here, a kid over here, a kid over here. Some of them actually say, I'm trying to make a basketball team. They need some responsibility and accountability too. I'm a mother hottie. All our lives, women have been held with so much accountability. Give the men some accountability also. They are in this game too. Sometimes a woman say, baby, I'm pregnant. And then he'd look at her with these incredulous look on his face. How did that happen? Don't you were there? You were there? You know? No, it's a two-way street.
If you want to sterilize, I say you start with the men.
Think about them, Miss Hattie. They go out there with all the most skimpy clothes on, and they look at the sick.
Oh, Mother, got it. Put some tape on your mouth.
But no,
please.
A lot of them know. I'm just being honest, now.
That's okay. You have a right to feel your way.
I'm just kidding with you.
You go out there and then they titties be hanging out and they got their minutes, and if they sneeze, you gonna see all their private parts.
And the inside too.
When you go out like that, you looking for something. You ain't looking to go hold Jesus' hand. You're not looking to go hold Jesus' hand dressed like that. Now, come on,
my girl's
got to take.
I think people's dress and attire has anything to do with them looking for anything. It's hot as heck in that town, y'all. I wouldn't wear no clothes if I didn't
wear clothes. Hey, right, hey, hi. Oh my God. Let me bring in Floyd, because Floyd is going to talk to us about the black woman. How you doing, Floyd? Thank you for holding.
Floyd is doing fine. I don't know how to come. I really almost don't know how to come in behind this show. You got me to talking about the black woman is God. I don't know what.
You don't know what's going on, huh? Well, this is Black Butter Love Friday here at the Lotus Place. And Fred, I purchased, I know at least one of your books. But you are an author, and share with us some of your books, how people can purchase your books, and then talk to us about the black woman.
Okay. Well, foremost, I agree with an audience and to everybody that is on.
Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Okay. My name is Floyd Williams, and the title of my book are The Holy Black Papyrus and the Origin of Racism. And the books, basically the two main ways to find the book is on Amazon and on Lulu.com. You can go on there and order the book. So once again, it's The Holy Black Papyrus or Papyrus and The Origin of Racism. And the books will be purchased through Amazon.com and also Lulu.com.
All right.
Lulu.
Okay. Lulu.
Lulu
as in
L-U-L-U?
Yes.
Okay. Floyd, what's your last name?
Williams.
Okay.
Floyd Williams. Floyd Williams. And both of these books are designed to, you know, just and bring us back to our original spirit of greatness and creativity, and just highlighting our divine nature as being a very special and unique chosen people by whatever name we choose to identify with the Creator as. So in the book, I address a lot of the different, you know, sociological stuff that we experience, primarily our, familiar and, characteristic relationship between, the white race and, you know, just highlighting our greatness, even past and, you know, present, you know, examples to try to, you know, make sure that we're in tune and know what's going on. So all of the books are based on basically black power and knowledge of self and, you know, laying out the outlining the system of white supremacy. But at the same time, going over our greatness, which is the reason for our targeting and the reason why we will continue to be, you know, targeted. So. Nope. But you know, that's, I don't want to go off on no tangent, but these books are just really pregnant with information. I'm just going to stick to you know, the theme or the reason why she you know, invited me on the show, which is she wants me to speak on the black woman as God, or, you know, expound on that a little bit, because sometimes people hear, you know, the black woman as God, and quite don't understand the science and the logic behind that. So I'm just going to elaborate on that some.
May I interrupt for just a quick second before you move on, Mr. Williams?
Yeah.
This is Aja. I'm at the computer now, so I went ahead and pulled up your book while you're talking, and I have Kindle on my tablets and everything. And I went to order it, and it says you already have it. So I have ordered your book. I didn't realize that that's you. So
I shared it with you.
Ah!
Oh, that's why I have it. Okay. I will definitely get to reading it then. Thank you. Thank you for sharing it with me. Thank you. Good. Okay. All right.
Wonderful.
I was getting ready to order it. Yeah. Okay.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I love the cover. It's
very, very interesting.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Naja. Okay, Flora, share with us, Tom, please.
Okay, well, you know, the black woman is God. I'm going to take you back to, just to the beginning and just take us, go over a little bit of our history as a, African, people or so-called African Americans before, other elements were introduced into our, belief system. Okay, originally as a people, before other elements was introduced into it and, or our belief, system, was taken over and colonized as a people, we always identified with the creator as being androgynous. Okay. And androgynous means male and female or masculine and feminine. We always, identify things as being, in pairs. Okay, so we always look at God or the creator as being masculine and feminine, okay? And the society that we had came from was based on a matrilineal or a matriarchal society. And that is where the woman, she is the center of society and she is the most important. She's the most important, and she's the center of society. So what this means is that once upon a time, in Africa, the only people that was landowners was the woman. The woman was the one who owned the land, okay? And it was through marriage that she passed on the throne or the right to rule to the man. So, as men, we had to understand it and we embraced the concept and knew that we were only was executors or agents or representatives of power, you see, because it is from the woman that the authority comes from, And so dealing with, Egyptian, mythology and, spirituality. Whenever you see Isis or Aset or in Christianity, you see, Mary suckling the baby Jesus. Okay. You see the child always sitting on the woman's lap. The woman's lap is only symbolism of the throne. When you are sitting on the chair that you are resembling. Or when you are sitting down in a chair, the woman's lap is only resembling the throne. So dealing with the goddess Isis on top of her head is a throne or a seat. Okay? And so when the man or the child is sitting on that woman's lap, that is symbolism of her being the throne, her being the base of power. Okay? And so that's just acknowledgement of her being the source of life. And then also, no man is greater than this mother. You cannot be greater than that which brings you into the world. You can't be greater than that. You see what I'm saying? You cannot be greater. You can't be greater than that. Okay.
And it kind of plays into the old adage, I brought you in this world and I can take you out of it.
Right.
Yeah. But you cannot be greater than the source of life which brought you into the world. And it is also in the woman's womb that we first have our first consciousness. Our first consciousness is formed and shaped, in that womb. Okay. And when we analyze, creation and look at our bodies, you see God, or what we identify as being the creative life force of the universe, we have to acknowledge that we are only, a microcosm of the macrocosm, okay? So, when you look at man, physiology and anatomy, within the man, you have the X and the Y chromosomes, okay? So you have the masculine and the feminine principle, okay? And, even a child inside of the womb, at first, it is sexless. You know what I'm saying? It's not almost like the second or the third month that you can make a distinction between the sex or the gender of the child, you see? And then sometimes we have what is born, it's called hermaphrodite, male and female, you see?
Right.
And so if God was just strictly all masculine, you see, then you could not have the woman, you see, because the creation or that which is created is only a reflection of its creator. So you have to have both principles at play in order for it to come, in order for it to come about and be in existence. Okay? And when you look at the plant dealing with botany, you know, you have, the plant has a pistil and a stamen. The pistil is the pistil, P-I-S-T-L-E, is the female reproductive organ of the plant. And the stamen, that is the masculine. That is the masculine principle. That is the masculine principle. So these elements, male and female, has always been in existence and dealing with creation. Okay? And the woman sets the tone, and the stage of life. Because when you teach a man, that's all you have done is just taught a man. But when you teach a woman, you have taught a nation. You see, because she is the first teacher. She is the first teacher. And she stands the most of the child, you see, and innately or naturally, when the child is brought into the world, it naturally yearns and is seeking for that feminine energy, is seeking for that feminine life force, you see, and that's why you can give the child to the man and it continues is whining, but as soon as you give it to that woman, it feels that femininity, that feminine life force, you see, it feels like it's back in the womb. It feels like it has reconnected with the womb and its source of life, so it calms down. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It calms down. And it's something in that woman that the baby grasps and knows that that's where it needs to be. It knows that it needs that breast. It knows that this is the cherisher. It knows that the woman is the sustainer. It knows that the woman is the evolver, because it doesn't want the man. It doesn't want the man. It's something that it channels and it tunes into and says, this is my source of life right here. This is what it is that I need, you see. Mm-hmm. But even though today, you know, a lot of the new school moms may have gotten away from the breastfeeding, you see. So there's mm-hmm. other ways for the baby or the infant to survive, but ultimately the mother holds life in death. The mother holds life in death, because if it chose to deny the child that breast, then guess what? It's going to perish. You see, it's going to perish if it does not receive that sustenance that is in the mother's breast, or if it does not receive the colostrum that first comes out, which fortifies the immune system. You see what I'm saying? So, and so those are just some of the reasons why we say that the black woman is God, because she is the reproducer. She is the creator. She is the means of perpetuation and continuation. She is the reproducer. You see what I'm saying? We could go without, in the world without a few men, but we can't go without that woman. You see? You can't go without that woman.
Amen.
You could go without a few men, but you can't go without that woman. You see what I'm saying? When a woman goes, then we go, you see. And a black woman is also God on a sociological level because how she interacts with herself and the respect that she gives herself, not the man, is going to be on whatever level the woman is at. The man is going to be at whatever level the woman is at, and that's why we have this saying that a nation could go no higher than this woman. What do I mean? A man is going to be wherever that woman is at. If a woman was firm and said, and this goes into the conversation that you guys was having as I was waiting to come on. You see, if a woman is firm in her standards and her principles and said, you know what? I'm not going to come down. I'm not going to compromise. If you want to get with me, this is where you have to meet me at. This is my standard, and this is my bar. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. If the man wants you, then he's going to have to recalibrate himself, adjust, and meet you where it is that you are at. So wherever the woman is at, that's where the man is going to be at in character and standing. You see what I'm saying? So she sets the tone of society and
certainly
the world. You see what I'm saying? So that's why a nation can rise no higher than this woman, because she sets that tone. You see what I'm saying? She sets that whole stage. And, you know, and it's not until we as a people give the woman the proper respect and the woman as being God and the creatress, you know, that she is, and respecting this feminine life force. That's what it's all about. Life is all about returning to that womb, be it the woman physically or feminine life force that pervades the universe. And until we get in tune with the feminine life force in the universe, and in tune with our woman, giving her the respect and exalting and revering how she's supposed to be here, we can never have the respect of anybody the world over, because a disrespect and a slight towards the woman, it shows a lack of respect and reverence for life itself. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A disrespect for the woman shows a lack of respect and life itself. You see what I'm saying? So, and just looking at, you know, some other physical things in the world, dealing with Catholicism, you know, the most sacred images are the images of what they call the Black Madonna or the Black Virgin Mary. You see? And these are the ones the Pope, these are the ones that the white man bows down to and cries in front of and prays to Black women. The most sacred images are the images of the Black Virgin Mary. They're not thinking about the white ones, because the white ones don't yield that power and that attractive force that the Black one does. You see what I'm saying? And so even them, they acknowledge the Black woman as being God, and they have these images all over the world of the Black Madonna in St. Peter's Square, Rome, you know what I'm saying, the Vatican, and Poland, and Holland, and Mexico, and Portugal, and Lithuania, you know what I'm saying, wherever it is that you go, the most sacred images is the images of the Black woman, the Black Madonna, and even when we as the people was so hard at the lowest of the low in slavery. You see what I'm saying? Even at the lowest of the low in slavery, they still, the white man and the white woman, acknowledge the veracity and the truth of the Black woman being God, even in the lowest of the low. You see,
let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back.
I wish you could get to that.
You've refused to put anything before your pride.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, and we are back here at the Lotus Place. Okay, and Floyd, you were on a roll, so I'll just let you just pick right back up.
Okay. Now, this is what I was saying about even in slavery, they acknowledge the black woman's divinity and her as being the mother, okay, and as being the God. They brought their babies to the black woman to be breastfed. You see what I'm saying? Even if they looked at a so-called animal, or three-fifths, or we was in a foot of the low. You see what I'm saying? They still had to come. They still brought their child, the white baby, and put them on the black woman's breast, you see? And they called her Mammy, you see? But Mammy is only a slang word for mom. You see? Mammy is only a slang word for mom or for mother. That's it. And so that just shows our greatness and our divinity, you know. And the reason being for that is by us being melanated beings. You see, the white woman, she cannot lactate. You know what I'm saying? Or produce milk like the black woman can. And the milk that she does produce is not going to be as rich with vitamins and minerals in comparison to the black woman. You see? And so, that's one of the things that just, you know, that just bears witness, you know, to that. And it's just so much that could be, there's so much that could be brought out. And also in the earliest center of the early religion was the worship of the woman. And they have, you know, what they call the Venus of Wildendorf, okay? And so the earliest and oldest statue that was carved or sculpted was a representation of the woman. It was the woman, you see? It was the woman. And this was the early representation or worship the earth in the form of the woman, which is why they call the earth what? They call it Mother Earth or Mother Nature, you see?
Yeah.
And so the earliest center of religion was the worship of the woman. And, you know, when we get off into space and dealing with cosmology and the cosmos, where do they say life first come from? They say it comes from the Milky Way. That's what they say. It comes from the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is a what? It's a womb. It's a big old star, a belt, and in the middle of it, it's a circle. It's a womb. Okay, and also dealing with the black hole. It is a womb. It's a womb. So everything that they associate with being responsible for giving life, it deals with a womb. You see what I'm saying? It deals with a womb. And where do we come from? Even in the Bible, it says in the beginning, it was darkness, you know, but the light comes from out of the darkness. And it's the same way we're dealing with the woman's womb. You see, the baby is conceived in darkness, but then when the baby come out the womb, then it's into the light. You see, so that's also a symbolic story of dealing with the divinity of the woman. You see what I'm saying? The water breaking and everything else. All this is dealing with, you know, symbolism of dealing with the divinity, of the woman. And when you get to studying all of the names for God, all of the names from God and all of the languages, are feminine. They are feminine names. They're dealing with the name Allah and dealing with the H, that's a H, you know. And that's feminine. It's dealing with woman dealing with a Hebrew. Here they talk about that was all over the universe. In the Hebrew, it's Ruach Kodash. That is a feminine energy. That's a feminine energy. Dealing with the Arabic, the word Ruach. That spirit that it's talking about, that's a feminine name. It's in a feminine form. And then in the Bible, it says that God, it speaks about God creating the earth and the universe, in wisdom. Okay. But all throughout the Bible, wisdom is a what? Wisdom is a woman. You see what I'm saying? It's a feminine life force energy. You see? So you can't get around that. And like I said, no man is greater than his mother. You see what I'm saying? And like creates like. A dog creates dog. You see what I'm saying? A cat give birth to a cat, you see, and a god give birth to a god. Even dealing with the Christianity theology, which is that Mary is the mother of Jesus, right? So, and Jesus is God in Christian theology, Mary wouldn't be nothing less. She'd be the goddess. You see what I'm saying? So that's why I said. And so originally we was on the matriarchal or matrimonial society, and originally as African, you didn't talk about the God without talking about the goddess. We always acknowledge that. We always acknowledge that, like I said, the woman was the sole land owner. You know, she could be a head of state. You had Nefertiti, you got Hatshepsut, and you had Queen Tia, Queen Tai, but she had the right to rule on land and vote. We never had, no feminist movement and like that in Africa. You go over there or you, pull up some stuff. You see great statues and great monuments. Strictly dedicated to woman. You see what I'm saying? So the woman always was praised and was elevated. You see what I'm saying? But dealing with American history, so we didn't have this feminist movement and fighting for rights and doing this and doing that because the woman was the only
landowner.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. The woman was the only landowner. She didn't have to have with inheritance or you know, anything like that, you see. But over here, so now I'm just trying to show where the mixture and the creeping in came in with this chauvinism and the patriarchal system, because the patriarchal system, that's the European creation, the patriarchal system. You see, a patrilineal, that's the European creation. And that's why the white woman couldn't vote in America until 1921. She couldn't do nothing. She couldn't vote. She couldn't do anything. She was sat there property, even though we was in slavery, but she was viewed as sat there property. She was no more than an arm piece and a trophy and a means of procreating. You know what I'm saying? Keeping the race going. That's all she was.
That's true.
That's really she still is today. You see?
That's true.
But and that is what it is. The Flintstone thing, that's more than a mental or a physical projection, because that's how they were living in them caves. It was about the woman here. There wasn't no conversation. There wasn't no spit, no game, or no pistol line. It was about the Indian and raping.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
you see what I'm saying? That strictly is what it was. But in Africa originally, that was not going down. If it was any type of disrespect towards that woman, you probably lost your life. You see what I'm saying? That's what it was, because the woman was the center of society. She was revered. You see what I'm saying? She was that revered and sacred. And that womb and the transferring of her blood was looked at the means and the transferring of divinity, which is why they didn't permit no marrying for no outside. The only person who was still on that throne was the person who came through that African womb. There wasn't no sitting on that throne if he went there. I wouldn't have sit on that throne if you didn't come from that African woman, if you didn't come from that black woman leg.
Well.
So, it just is what it is. I don't want to keep going on, but dealing with that word Bible, you know what I'm saying? Then I'm going to wrap it with that, dealing with that word Bible, because many people don't get into breaking down words. I like dealing with etymology. Etymology is dealing with the root of words. It's associated with theology. You know, so you look at the word Bible, you know, if you ask somebody what Bible means, they're going to tell you it means basic instructions before leaving Earth. It sounds good, but that's no fly acronym. That's something that man came up with because, you know, they really don't know. They're trying to give it some meaning, but it does not mean basic instructions before leaving Earth. When you get to studying the word Bible, it takes you to the word Biblo, and then Biblo, which is Greek etymology, is Biblos, then it takes you to the Phoenician word, or the Phoenician Biblos, you see, which was a Phoenician that was famous for the exportation of papyrus or paper. Then you study a little further, dealing with the etymology, it's going to take you to the Latin word Biblia, and Biblia is a woman. Biblia is a woman. So these are the names where the word Bible comes from, but Biblia is a woman. You see what I'm saying? So.
Well, I do say. I'll have to look into that. I'm definitely make note of that. Flora, we'll let people know how they can follow you and purchase your books again, and we'll have to have you back on to have a more in-depth conversation and elaborate a little bit more on your books and some of what you touched on tonight. We sure appreciate you. Been trying to get you on here for a while, finally.
Yeah, that's some very good information, very positive information.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how can people follow you and how can they purchase your book?
It was the book, The Black Papyrus and the Origin of Racism is on Amazon. The Holy Black Papyrus is on Amazon as a e-book, okay? And The Origin of Racism is on Amazon. It's a tangible book or a softback book, okay? So you go to Amazon.com and get those books, and you go to Lulu.com and get the Holy Black Papyrus in the form of a softback book. So Amazon.com and Lulu.com, you can find the book. The Origin of Racism and the Holy Black Papyrus. And follow me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook under my name, Floyd Williams. So that is what it is. That's how you can keep up with me or find me.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll have to invite you to come back, and I look forward to hearing from you again. And thank you so much for taking the time to come by.
Okay, thank you so much, Lloyd. Appreciate that. Very informative. Very informative.
Yeah. So good to hear that come from a man's mouth.
Yes.
Any questions or comments for Floyd before he leaves? I don't know if Delta's still there. I want to play something she shared with me. Mm-hmm.
It's just so refreshing to hear this type of information from a young black man, because we know deep inside who we are, but the way the society has been reflecting the black woman, it causes some disenchantment with women, and it's good to know that we still have people who believe that this is really true, and you have the facts to back it up, you know. So we appreciate that. And I look forward to reading your books.
Okay. Thank you very much for those kind words. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's what it's all about. I got plenty of writers in my book dealing with the woman.
Well, we want to hear you. We'll have to invite you back on a Women's Wednesday. And Icy Hot, if you're still there, this is one of the brothers that we were trying to have come to the Women United convention to speak.
Okay, well, hey, maybe he can make it next year.
Yes.
Possibly. Just keep me in the loop. Keep me in the loop.
Okay. We sure will. Okay, Floyd, thank you so much. I'll speak with you soon.
Okay. Peace, family.
All right. Peace. Bye-bye. Namaste. Namaste. So, I want to share this video. What's his name? Bishop Bullwinkle that Delta sent to me. Delta, are you still there? Or did you dip off on us? Delta. Okay. Delta may have dipped off. So, these were nine ways we were listed, nine ways to attract the man that you want. Okay, so you said number one, according to Farrar Gray, look like a million bucks. Have your nails and your clothes together. Make sure you look decent. Show off your figure, but don't show too much. Okay, and then number two was be confident. Have your own life or be in the process of making one. He wants a woman of substance. And then number three, we said, number three, we were just getting to number three. Don't be needy. Be independent. A man with money is probably accomplished and can get a woman any day. But the woman he dates and caters to, that woman will not be so easy to score. So don't be needy. Be independent. And let's see, number four, forget going to the clubs, go to places where, as this kind of man will be, the man that you're looking for will be at seminars, conventions, or something like maybe a high-end social event. So, X out the club, go to a seminar, convention.
It's something that you're interested in. Yeah, go to something that you're interested in.
Now that's good. Sign up for the meetup. That meetup, that group meetup. Oh my God, that meetup is awesome. You can sign up for just about anything from
anything.
Somebody's moving around. Is that you, Audrey, moving around with those papers?
Yes, I have put myself on mute. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay, no problem. So, group meetups, those meetups that you can sign up for, and you'll receive a daily or weekly emails about what's going on, and like based on your interest, if you're interested in bird watching or art or computers or acting or photography or theater.
Nature walks, bike riding.
Bike riding, bicycling, music, whatever. Exploring different places in the city. You can sign up for all of these different meetup groups in your community, you know, based on your zip code or different zip codes. And you can meet up with different groups. So no longer, it's really good for people that say maybe live in a city, that they're new to, or maybe don't always have friends that want to go to some of the same places that they want to attend. Or can attend at that particular time, but you still want to go. So you can actually sign up, and there may be a group going to that outdoor concert that you want to go to, but none of your friends are available to go. So you can just meet up with this group of people that sign up. They're part of the group. And, you can meet up. So that's a great way to, like, meet people. Expand yourself. Okay. And then number five. Be up on the news and latest trends. You have to be able to hold a conversation. Talking about Bay or Chris Brown is not going to cut it. Have a more intelligent approach. So yeah, you know, be up on some current events, you know what's going on in the world and around your community or something at least. Be money savvy, understand finance. Men will appreciate a woman who gets it. Yeah. Don't just be crazy about the finances. You can spend money, but also know how to make some too. Don't give in to physical desires on the first date. Make him want you.
Amen.
Don't give it up so quickly. On the first date, not always. Now, sometimes you may meet somebody, I guess. I'm just saying, I guess I've heard people say, meet somebody and it's just passion, passion, passion. And sometimes those relationships may actually last long. What do you think, Icy Hot or Aja? Should you, if you just feel it like if both?
I don't think that's ever appropriate. I don't think it is ever, ever appropriate. But, you know, I'm old school and old.
Yeah, I'm old school too.
I'm going to tell you with all of the health issues around
Especially now. Maybe you could get away with that about 40, 50 years ago when it wasn't so much floating around. But my goodness.
Exactly.
I would pray to do anything that intimate with anybody, just meeting them and not knowing their habits. And I really prefer, like, my oldest brother told me, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? You know, it's just too much of a big deal to take it so lightly. We are so, so worthy and so, I guess, valuable, I would say, to do that and live it like that. So, but that's just me. I know that the young ones do all kinds of things now, but it's just very dangerous.
Miss Hattie, that's why the cows are walking around so fat, because they don't have to give out milk anymore, because the young girls giving it away free, and the cows get to keep all their milk, because you don't have to give the young girls nothing. You don't have to give them anything. All you got to do is take them down by McDonald's, maybe. Well, I take that back. You take them down by McDonald's and give them some Burger King. And
well,
y'all
I'm
may
gonna
say,
I'm going to say that some of the girls, that some of them, I would say, but there are a lot of young ladies that have some really high standards. And I don't think we can. I don't know. I just don't think we can look at them.
Well, I know I do. I do. I see high. I have very high standards, and
y'all may play
brother. Go ahead, Delta.
So, and y'all may think I'm being so harsh and so ugly, but I'm not. The reason I say this because I see a lot of it.
Okay.
I see a whole lot of it.
Yeah.
Well, I see some of it. I do see some of that, and then I have a whole nother perspective too. Let me throw this out at you, young lady. I have also the perspective of, like I was saying before, you don't know who you're destroying, so just let everybody live, and as they say in the Bible, you know, let God separate the chaff from the wheat. Anyway, won't go there. I just think that when we look at it, you know, perhaps this might even be God's way of us surviving, because some of those children are going to survive against all odds, because so many of them, people have already. And so this might be the way, we might want to look at these girls as those who are keeping our culture, in some ways, black people on the map. Because some of those children will be okay. And I'm not saying keeping people, you know, on the map, being dysfunctional and all off that and off the zone, but, you know, some of them are going to be normal and fine and work through life despite their issues. So it might be Mother Nature's way of keeping us as a people.
That's a very good point. I never thought of that.
Numbers.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think, Delta?
Yes.
What do you think, Delta? They may just be here to help populate and keep some people here for us. That's what I was looking at those babies.
Well, if I had a daughter, I sure wouldn't want my daughter to help keep me here. Because I don't want my daughter splitting out of Army. And then you got a, not only Army, they got a whole bunch of biddies running and a whole bunch of ducks running behind them. They got about 7 or 8. It just don't make any sense.
It doesn't. Well, look, on that note, Delta, I do want to play. I did want to play Bishop Bullwinkle. You sent me that video. Now, I did not see the one about the family in Florida. So resend that
one.
Okay,
let me try to resend it. Okay.
Resend that one. But as we close out, I want to close out with this one.
this is a crazy, cute little song that went viral by this pastor named Bishop Bullwinkle. So, Bishop Bullwinkle is telling it like it is. He's telling it like he sees it. You may have heard this video. He went viral, over like 3 million views on YouTube. So, thank you, Aja.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you, Aishahat. Thank you, Scotty, and thank you, Floyd, for calling in. And I want to send a shout out to my sister, Meth. Thank you for listening. She's listening, tuning in. She always tunes in. Hey, Meth, I sent you a message. All right, so peace and blessings and namaste to everyone. And let me play the
Bishop
Winkle. Yes, hail to the now. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's giving it up. On the first night. That's what. Hell to the now. You gotta hear none of this.